We're in a series called Loud Faith, and I believe that what God is doing in our hearts right now as a community, a church community, but also as individuals, I see all of our stories in our chapters and what God is doing in individual stories, I believe that God is ramping up and turning up the volume of our faith. And it's for a reason. Whenever your faith is increased, it means the Lord is calling you to deeper waters. It means the Lord is leveling you up. And when you face something that is beyond you, my friend, that means God is leveling you up to do things you've never done before. You gotta level up. You gotta level up. And so we are listening to the Holy Spirit and saying, all right, we're gonna turn up our faith. Now that doesn't mean we're just gonna come in here and say, all right, guys, believe in good. Get encouraged, be inspired, believe that God is real. That is important. But actually, the definition of faith is action, is belief in motion. And so to turn up our faith this month, we are diving into how is the Lord calling us to step. Y'all remember how we did it last week with NSYNC? We just told the devil, bye, bye, bye. Because we're stepping and our steps are ordered of the Lord. I thought about that all week long. I was like, man, every step I take, I found myself in situations that were beyond for me to protect my family, my calling, my life. Just this week, it was a very scary moment. And in that moment, I realized, oh, wow, my steps are ordered of the Lord because I'm still here. Not because of what I did. Not because of how I'm protected as a father. Not because of the man, the strong man for my wife that I was. No, because the Lord is faithful and he is on the throne. That's it. I stand before you alive today because God is protection and he is safety for me. And so I realize my steps are ordered of the Lord. So every step I take, I know when I'm in his will, he is ordering those steps. You can't get unsee it, can you? You can't unsee it. It's the NSYNC concert you saw last week. If y'all missed it, you can check it on YouTube. It was quite the moment. All right. I want to talk today about loud vision. Loud vision. We talked about loud faith. We talked about loud obedience last week. Today, I want to dive into loud vision. Now, I'm not talking about the vision when you go to the eye doctor and they're like, A or B. Anybody else like, can I see A again? A or B. They look the same. A or B. I'm getting to the point now where it's like, they're like, I'm sorry, we don't have any more glass to throw at you. You're too blind. I'm sorry. But I'm not talking about that kind of vision. When I was a kid, actually, I was way too old to admit how old I was. But when I went to the eye doctor, for the first time, they did the flash thing. Do y'all remember that test? And I was in there and they did the test and they didn't forewarn me about the flash that was coming. And so when it flashed, I couldn't see a thing and I thought they had mistakenly made me blind. And so I scream, run to the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom crying. My parents have to like talk me out of the bathroom and back to my appointment. I'm not talking about that vision, okay? It was quite the moment for me, but I'm not talking about that kind of vision. And sometimes when we talk about vision, I want to set this clear because sometimes we can talk about imagination or goal setting. And that's all important. It's not bad to have goals for your life, goals for your family, goals for your relationships, goals for your career. But today, I don't want to talk about goals. I don't want to talk about imagination, though that is important. Today, I want to talk about God's vision for your life. God's vision for your life. Not what you see for your life, but what does God see for your life? The Bible says that he has a perfect will for you. A perfect will for me. And so in order to step by faith into what we know the Lord has already planned, we have to have his vision for our lives. It's very important. In fact, I would say it's crucial to walking with Christ is to have God's vision for your life. And the difference between imagination and vision, just so you can clearly see, imagination is the ability to create mental images and concepts to think outside the box. Vision is different. Vision, on the other hand, is the ability to see something that does not yet exist and then make it reality. To make it reality. So when we're talking about vision today, I want to challenge and encourage you that where you are with your walk with God, to pray, God, give me a vision. Give me your vision for my life. And not something that I'm just going to think on and wonder about and just imagine, but something that God wants you to make reality here on earth. Something that God wants you to perform, to become, to step into, and become what God has put. So how many are ready for God's vision for your life? I remember as a kid, coming to the Lord. But I remember the first time the Lord showed me a vision of who I was that didn't align with what I thought. How many have ever had that happen? Where you're in his presence and you're praying, and all of a sudden he shows you who you are, either in the future in a vision or just gives you a one of those impressions. And you're just like, oh, but Lord, and my response was this, but Lord, that's not who I am. I remember as a teenager just being insecure, and a lot of you know this, but I was super insecure as a kid, just thinking way too much about what others thought. As a kid, I was teased. I had glasses, so they called me Four Eyes, all this stuff. So I always held that. And I thought way too much about what others thought about me. So when the Lord called me a leader, I said, absolutely not, because that means I'm in front of people. I like to hide. I like to be one in the background. But I remember when the Lord called me, you are a leader. You are one that's going to speak. And he even showed me a vision of me in front of a crowd. And I'm like, dear God, please call somebody else. Terrifies me. But when the Lord gives you a vision, it's something that he wants you to make reality with your life. It's something he wants you to step into. So you ready for God's vision? You know, the one that scares you when you think too much about it? The one that's too big for you to take on your own? But it's the perfect will of God. I believe that God wants to invest in you a vision for your life. And I believe that there are some chapters in your story that God wants to, number one, rewrite. Number two, restore. And I want to add another one, replenish. I feel like there's some chapters in your story, personally, that God wants to restore. That years ago, somebody, some situation wrecked you, marked you, stole something from you, and it left something on you that defined you, that caused you to think a certain way, that every step you take, you think about it. Every conversation you have with somebody is the filter through which you're talking through. Every time you look through the mirror, you don't see what we all see. You see exactly what that mark shows because of that situation. And I believe that God wants to give you a vision for your life that will redefine how you see yourself. It'll redefine the way you wake up every day. That you're not just waking up to survive, not just waking up to make enough to make ends meet. You're not just waking up to set a nice thing for your family. You're not just waking up to show up at your work. You are waking up because God's vision for your life needs to be fulfilled, and you're stepping into it. It's the redefinition. It's the redefinition for your life. So how many are ready for that? Are you ready? I know there are things in my life that I want God to redefine. Some things I still repeat. It's the soundtrack of my mind. And if you were to get in my soundtrack, you'd be like, Pastor Elijah, how dare you think those thoughts about yourself? How many are like that, though? You're like, man, if my thoughts were on speaker right now, I'd be a little embarrassed. Right? How I think about myself as a child of God. Yet those are the things that when God gives you a vision, you're stamped with something now that you can step into to make a reality. It goes beyond imagination. It goes beyond just believing God can heal. Now you're stepping into healing. You're not just believing that God can make you healthy. Now God shows you the steps you need to take to step into health. It's not just believing you're going to be financially blessed. It's stepping into the principle of motion of generosity, and now all of a sudden God's favor is on your life, and you become a conduit of blessing for others. That's how it works. God gives you a vision, and you step into that vision. And I want to encourage someone here today that maybe you're like, I don't even know if I can even go there. But today, God's going to stamp a vision on your life that's beyond what you've seen, known, or experienced. And God's going to bring you into it to make it a reality. This is your year. This is your year. The best is yet to come. This is your chapter. This is where it gets good. This is where I can't put the book down. This is where I don't turn off the movie. No commercial breaks. Don't do that to me, okay? I'm into this story because this is the best part of your story. It's about to take place. Amen? A vision from God. Write this down. I think I put it in the notes, but I'm not sure. A vision from God is something that is divinely inspired and divinely empowered. Woo, baby. I love this about God. Now, let me explain this. So when we sit down with our kids and we lay out, hey, guys, listen. So we did this in 2020, I believe, West Coast trip. Is that 2020? 2020. We said, hey, the world's crazy. Let's go to the West Coast, okay? We do our two-week vacation, so let's go to the West Coast. Let's go hit up all the national parks. Now, I did not say, hey, Zion and A, now you guys are 10, what were they, 10 and 8 at the time. Now listen, you guys need to come up with a way to pay for the gas, the hotel, all the travel that we're going to be doing. If we eat out, I need you guys to save some money so that you can provide for this family to go on this trip. How many know I did not do that? I showed them the plan of where they were going, and then I took care of all the finances, and my wife, thank God, took care of all the planning. Shocker. I did not put that burden on them because I'm a good father. Me and my wife didn't put that on them and say, all right, here's the plans. This is going to be phenomenal. We're going to climb mountains. We're going to hike hills. We're going to do all these things. And you're going to have to provide for it. That'd be a terrible parent. Terrible parent. At 10 and 8, yeah, right. What we did as good parents is we said, hey, listen, here's where I want to take you. And guess what? I'm going to give you everything you need to get there. God's vision is God-inspired and God-empowered. Hear me loud and strong. I stand before you today standing in the middle of a God vision that was inspired at one time and now is God-empowered to move. There is something that God wants to mark on you that right now looks outside of budget. If my kids were to sit there and think, oh my goodness, how much is the hotel room? That's $200. Oh my goodness, and we got to provide food. Meals are like $120 for our family to eat out. Oh my goodness, and then what else? Travel to gas. So gas is good. $400 for that? Can you imagine them sitting there thinking about how much money they had to make? That'd be insane. And that's what we do with God. God stamps a vision on us and we're like, hold on, let me get my calculator out. God, do you know how much that's going to cost me? God, what if I don't have enough? And think about it. We think about the three T's. God, what if I don't have enough time? What if I don't have enough time to do that vision? You know what I got going on right now? I don't have time for that. Then you throw the other T in there. God, I don't have enough talent to go there. You haven't blessed me with that kind of talent to lead that kind of movement. Lord, call somebody else. And then we go to God, you've not given me enough treasure. I don't have enough treasure for that. I don't make enough for that. I can barely keep the electricity on. Dear Lord. And so we come to him with this mindset of thinking that he's going to inspire something that we can't perform. Well, that's a great thought, Lord, but it's probably for someone else, so you probably got it wrong. You're probably dropping seeds, and it's just like, oops, oh my goodness, did I land that on Elijah? Shoot. I meant that rich guy over there. No, the Lord does not make mistakes, my friend. When he drops a vision, when he stamps a vision on your heart and in your life and shows you a picture of what he wants to step into, it is God-inspired and God-empowered. He will get behind it with all of his resources. And guess what? He's the King of Kings who owns it all. He's the God of the universe. He doesn't have to beg or ask or get a loan. He's the God who owns everything, and everything is in his hands. When he speaks, the world exists. When he speaks, light comes into the... I mean, this is our God. This is who we think. So we have to trust that when God inspires the vision, God will empower the vision. When God inspires me to step out, God's going to send resource in order for me to perform what he called me to do. Are y'all with me? God is good. When God says it, doesn't just inspire you to do it, he will enable you to accomplish it. Because when God gets involved with your story, there's a supernatural turn of events that you can't explain any other way than there is a divine figure's involvement. The Bible says that he will use, what does he say? The foolish things of the world. Shame the wise. In fact, when Jesus came, where was Jesus? He came from Nazareth. Everybody said, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Why? The Lord loves to use things that the world looks as foolish. Yeah, right. You'll never amount to anything. Yeah, right. Do you know your family? Yeah, right. You don't make enough. Yeah, right. You're from that neighborhood? Yeah, right. You fill in the blank. The world loves to look at things as foolish, and God loves to use the foolish things to confront the wise and shame them and say, look what God can do. He used dirt and brought it to life and breathed breath into it, said, there's the image of God. Only being on earth that we'll create came from dirt. How you like that, angels? I made it from dirt. God is amazing. And when God gets involved, there is nothing else you can say about the turn of events that happened in your life, about the favor that happens on your finances, about the things that happen to your family and the protection that happens on you, besides knowing there's a divine figure involved with my story. There's something beyond me that's having this happen. There's something beyond me that's providing for my story. There's something beyond me that's providing my talent. There's something beyond me that's giving me the time I need to perform what I need to perform. And God will do it. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Shoot. I'm going to have to cut this sermon in half. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision and inscribe it clearly on the tablet so that one who reads it may run. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hurries towards the goal and it will not fail. Though it delays, wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay long. I want to encourage this. Three things that I believe that God is going to call you to do in order to step into the vision he's going to place on your life. Number one, write it down. When he says it, write it down. And when you're praying, God, give me a vision, some of the easiest things to do is to start with a blank page. Let me say it like this. The hardest thing to do is to start with a blank page. That's what I should say. It's not easy. The hardest thing to do is to get all of your goals, things that you want to accomplish, all the things that we place as important, you want to get that on that page. And then you want God to move on your goals, your visions. But what I'm challenging you with today is to sit with a blank page and pray, God, what is the vision for my life? What is your vision for my life? Some of you pray this, God, what's your vision for my health? What does God say about you? Man, it's not been very long since I started caring for my health and how I eat, working out, all the stuff. I've tried back and forth all the things, but it just wasn't a big rock in my life at all. I ate like a junior high student, especially when my wife was out of town. It was cereal breakfast and dinner, and just terrible. And I remember being convicted because the vision that God has placed on our lives, it's going to demand my body to be physically healthy to perform what God wants us to do? How many know that you need to be healthy to show up for what God's calling you to do? And we need to pray, God, what's your vision for my health? Let him stamp it on you. Let him say, hey, here's how I see you. I see you as a healthy, strong individual showing up for your life, showing up for those around you, feeling good, being present in the room. So write it down. Get a picture of what it is. Don't be over spiritual. Just write it down. What is God telling you about your life? What's God telling you about your family? So we need to write down what God's speaking over your family, because what you saw growing up was not a healthy family. So you saw dysfunction and you're trying to create health and you can't, there's a disconnect. You need to pray, God, give me a vision of what a healthy family looks like. And you know a lot of times what he does? He'll show you a healthy family around you to get around. That's how he did it for us. He showed us healthy families and we plugged in. He showed us parents with kids that we wanted our kids to be like. And so we met with them. We said, show us what a healthy family looks like. What do you guys do? How do you do that? We saw healthy marriages. And we would go and ask them, hey, what do you guys do to do that? I want God's vision for my marriage. I don't want to have to go off of just what I've experienced, what I saw my parents do. I want a healthy marriage. I want what God wants for my marriage. And so I want to look at that vision and then step into it as God empowers me to step into it. Financially, where do you want to be? God, give me a vision for my finances. And I'm going to warn you on this one. God loved the world so much that he gave. So be careful when you pray this. God, give me a vision for my finances. It's going to show a lot of your finances going out, not in. When the Lord showed us a vision for our home, it was us being able to give nonstop. Now, what does that mean? That means we have the ability to give. We always do this in the morning. We'll come up with what we're thankful for as we're driving to school. And I always tell the kids, what do we want to be grateful for today? How many know it's not always a desire of yours to be grateful? Right? I don't want to be like, hey guys, what are we grateful for? Hey guys, what do we want to be grateful for? How many know there are seasons that you don't want to be grateful for it? Like, how can I be grateful for a stolen car? How can I be grateful for all this craziness going on in my life? No, I'm going to choose in this moment to be grateful. God, thank you for your protection. My daughter's still here. I can be grateful. My car's gone, but my daughter's here. Hallelujah. Hey, there's a financial stress, but God, thank you for the ability to eat. We are sitting at the table, we're eating. Thank you, God. We're blessed beyond measure. And so when we choose this mindset and we see that God is involved in it and we write down the vision of saying, God, what do you see for my life? So number one, write it down. So important. Write it down. Number two, move on what you know. I believe that stepping into God's vision is doing what you know already. When you put it down on paper and you're like, okay, I'm writing down who I am as a man of God or as a woman of God. I write down how I see my family. Okay, this is what I see as a godly family that's serving, that's loving each other, that's being this healthy body, right? I want to be involved financially like this, and so this is what I see in my life. Once that happens, the next step is doing what you know. Stepping on what God has already spoken and what you know the details, because you won't know the full picture until you get there. And I don't know if we'll ever know the full picture till we get to heaven. So what we do is we move on what we know. God, I know you're faithful in this. I've seen it before. Or I see it in that person's life, that healthy individual that I'm looking at and saying, all right, how'd you do it? How'd you make that happen in your marriage? And so they're doing that, so I do what I know until I experience that, and then I move on what I've learned. You move on what you know until you learn, and then you move on what you know, and then you learn, and then you move on what you know, and then you learn. This is how the vision of God happens on your life, is you get a vision of God, you move on what you know, God teaches you in that season, and then you move in what you've learned. And God is faithful in this season, so he builds your character. He builds your ability to do blank and blank. And so you step in now to perform now what you've learned. It's a growth pattern. And number three, we wait for the appointed time. I love verse three. I love verse three because it says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. And I want to encourage somebody in the room that maybe you're not there yet, but there is an appointed time on your life. There's an appointed time on your relationships. There's an appointed time on that financial blessing. There's an appointed time on your calling. And if you will not give up, God is faithful to finish the work he started in you. I don't know if that gets you excited. It gets me excited. So I'm like, thank you, God, you're not done yet. Thank you, God, my story's not done yet. Thank you, God, I'm just getting started. I believe that the Lord wants to do something in the appointed time, and he is looking for those who will be faithful until it happens. I think about all the Bible stories, and I love reading about Daniel and David, and David and Goliath, and Daniel in the lion's den, and Noah's ark, and I think about all these guys who were just faithful and consistent in what they knew. That's all they did. They prayed every day. You know what they pointed out about Daniel in the story? Read it back. They pointed out that he prayed 3 times a day in front of his window. That was it. Nothing special about that. God wanted you to know that before he used him to change an entire nation, what was he doing? What he knew. Praying to God. God, show me a vision. Getting before him. He was anonymous. Nobody knew his name. Nobody knew him. And you might be like, hey, nobody knows me. I don't have enough talent. I don't have time. I don't have treasure. You might be there. But God's looking and saying, who is faithful with what I've already spoken? Who's faithful with that word? Who's moving on what they know now? Not waiting for a time that then they're going to get involved when it gets good. When something's moving and happening, then you want to jump in. No, my friend, get faithful now. Get on your knees and pray to God. Say, God, give me a vision. Daily, come before him and say, Lord, wash me in your word. Make me ready. Build me. Build my character. Show me things in my heart that I need to lay down. I need to cut out. Show me relationships I need to nurture and become healthier in. Show me ways to forgive. Show me ways to give. Show me ways to be involved. Show me ways to serve. This is the position of faithfulness for the appointed time. So when the time comes, God comes in, he says, stand up, child, you're ready. You're ready. I got this viewfinder. Y'all remember these? We were talking today. I was talking to Teresa. It's like, you know, the first one ever was like the red one with the Mickey Mouse. But I love these because they have these discs, and on the disc is a picture. And you can't even see it, can you? It's too little. Can you even tell what this is? No, too tiny. And honestly, just standing here looking like this, I can barely see what it is. But when I place it in the right element, and I point it towards the light, because these things are terrible in the dark. And if you point to the dark, you can barely just make out what the image is. But as long as I stay postured towards the light, it clarifies everything, brings out all the colors that I need to see, and defines everything clearly so that I know what I'm looking at. But if I stay in the dark and I keep my eyes on something else besides the light, it's so cloudy, I couldn't tell you what the image is. And I'm trying to figure out my life. I'm trying to go about it and do it on the grind. I'm trying to make it happen. I'm trying the 12 steps to success, and I can't make out where I'm going. Let me tell you, my friend, if you point that thing to the light, stay in position and do what you know to do. Let the Lord clarify that vision that you see. So what do you need to point towards the light? What do you need to bring the vision? When we get this vision, then we bring it into the God of all, the King of all, the one who has everything in his hand for us. But it happens when we ask God for the vision. So I want to encourage you today. Number one, don't give up. Write down that vision. Make it plain. And I love how Habakkuk, the prophet, says it, because he says, when you write it down, it enables the person who reads it to run. And I wonder what is in your life that God wants to perform that you haven't written down yet, you haven't defined out, so that you can't run on it. You can't make that first move. And I believe that God wants to clarify. Have you get before him and say, Lord, show me a vision for my life. And he says, bloop, let me tell you what I see. All right, exhibit A, point it towards me. Once you get your priorities straight and you start looking to the one who has all the answers, I will clarify what I see for your family. Next slide, please. Once you point it towards the light and you put your priorities in order, I will show you what I see for your family. Next slide, please. If you point it towards the light and you make me your priority, I will show you what to do with your finances so that you could be prosperous and successful wherever you go. Next slide, please. When you point it towards the light, I will show you how to parent in order to build world changers, prophets, those that will not stray from what I want to do in their life. But you must point it towards the light. Elijah, if you get it off, you're going to get out of my will. You're going to get off track of what I want to do in you. But as long as you point it at the light, I will clarify it for you. I will give you direction. I will give you clarity. I will color it up. I will make it known to you so that you can walk in boldness. Loud faith. This is loud vision. This is coming and knowing who you are in Christ so that when things happen behind you or beside you or all around you, you know God's moving and the devil ain't happy about it. There's been so many times this year already. We've looked at each other and we said, man, the enemy's on overtime trying to take us out. He's trying to steal our boldness. He's trying to steal our love for each other. He's trying to steal our love for our calling. He's trying to steal the protection we feel in God. Man, when you get in those situations, you feel unsafe. It's like, why am I so fear-filled right now? The enemy's trying to steal our joy. He's trying to steal our strength, our peace. We've looked at each other so many times, we say, you know what? Enemy's on overtime. I want to give you a scripture, real quick before we go. I know. Come and play so I don't preach all day. I'm sorry. I'm fired up. The presence of the Lord is so good. I love what he's doing. I love what he's going to do in your vision. I love how he's going to give you vision and clear thoughts. 2 Kings, I want to leave you with this. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17, all right? This is Elisha and his servant. And Elisha's been given the DL to the army of God, telling the Israelites, hey, this is the plan of the enemy. Just God was showing him. So the enemy would try to attack and Israel would move. The enemy would try to attack and Israel would move because Elisha's coming. So the enemy got really mad at Elisha, said, let's kill him. Let's squash him. So let's go after him. So one morning, they wake up and his servant goes outside and sees the army surrounding him. And this is where we pick up the story. In verse 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked, and this is Elisha's response. Now, put yourself in his shoes. You're surrounded by the enemy. Horses, chariots, guns ablaze. They didn't have guns back then, but you know what I mean. And Elisha's response to him is this. Don't be afraid. My master's lost his mind. My master's lost his mind. Don't be afraid, the prophet answers. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed this prayer. And this is what I want to pray over you today. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. What a simple prayer. Now, he wasn't talking about his A or B. Lord, open his eyes so he could see clear. No, he was talking about his God vision. Not his natural vision, not his human eyes. He was praying, God, let him see what you see. Let him see with spiritual eyes. And this is my prayer over you today, that God would open your spiritual eyes to see your life through his lens, to see your family through his focus, to see the ability to see you through his eyes. Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opens the servant's eyes. Woo! And this is the best part. And he looked and saw the hills full. Everybody say full. Come on. He saw the hills full of horses and chariots on fire all around Elisha. Because when you open your spiritual eyes, you realize there are more that are fighting for you than what the enemy is throwing at you. And when you stand in the will of God and you do what you know to do and you point that thing to the light and God's clarifying how to go and where to go and you step in knowing, God, I can't do it, but I know you're with me. He, you open your spiritual eyes to see there are more fighting for me than are with them. You walk with confidence because you know it's not in my own ability. I can't protect my kids enough, but I know there are angels surrounding them daily, walking with them, guarding and protecting them. I can pray enough. I can't pray enough because I know that he's the one fighting for them. And when things get tight financially, I don't fear. Ask my wife. She's like, sometimes, Lige, you need to fear. I'm like, I don't fear. Like, hey, things are looking, I don't care. We open our eyes and we know there's a God that's fighting for us. And his army is way bigger than what's trying to come against us right now. So you can stand. I can stand knowing my God is for me. And if my God is for me, who can be against me?